feeling a little stressed out, maybe it's work, maybe it's the kids, maybe it's the economy, maybe it's that high drama family situation that gets your blood boiling every time you think about it, or the highly charged political climate that has everyone at each other's throats. But whatever the cause, chances are your stress is actually making everything worse, including your health. And that means that the question isn't really, are you stressed, but what can you do about it? And that's exactly what we're going to talk about today as we take a deep dive into this issue of chronic stress, how it impacts our health, and what we can actually do to help de-stress ourselves in order to live a healthier, happier life. Welcome to the Ditch the Carbs podcast, brought to you by Thinlicious. I'm your host, Ruth Sukup, and here we'll talk about everything from the science of weight loss and metabolic flexibility to practical tips for making your health a priority in the midst of a very busy life. It's the perfect blend of insightful education, practical application, and good old-fashioned motivation. So buckle up, friend, because it's about to get real. Hey there, and welcome back to the Ditch the Carbs podcast. Once again, my name is Ruth Sukup, and I'm the founder of Thinlicious and the Thin Adapted System, as well as the New York Times bestselling author of 7 books. I'm also a 40-something-year-old woman who knows really, really well what it's like to struggle with your weight and with eating well and getting healthy and stress. So if this is your first time listening to this podcast, then at some point you may want to go back and listen to the episode where I share more of the details of my own weight loss journey. It's called The Simple Changes I Made to Lose 40 Pounds and Actually Keep It Off. And basically, it will just give you a really good overview of where I've been and how I got to here, if you're curious. But today, I want to talk about a topic that affects nearly all of us on literally a daily basis, regardless of your age, weight, sex, or any other factor. It's stress. And it is a big deal, now more than ever before. In fact, according to the American Psychological Association, 77%, that's 3/4 of the population, report feeling stress that somehow affects us physically. And 33%, basically 1/3 of the population, considers our stress levels to be extreme. More than half of us, 55%, say that we feel stressed on a daily basis. And 2/3 of us, 73%, feel like our stress impacts our mental health. Guys, that's a lot of stress. We're literally drowning in a sea of stress. And not surprisingly, all of that chronic stress has a big impact on our health. In fact, stress has been linked to a huge range of health problems and diseases, including depression and anxiety, high blood pressure and cholesterol, migraine headaches, digestive problems, heart disease. The list goes on and on and on. So, what can we actually do about it? How can we de-stress ourselves and get our health back on track? That's exactly what we're going to be talking about today, exactly what all that stress is doing to our bodies and what steps we can actually take to start dealing with it in a healthy way. And we're going to dive in just a sec. But before we do, I wanted to tell you about one thing really quickly. If you're brand new to this podcast and to Thinlicious in general, I have a little gift for you. It is a free starter guide called Flip the Switch. And it's just a really great introduction to our approach here at Thinlicious to health and weight loss. In it, I'm going to explain a little bit more about the science behind our program, why it works, and even why, if you've hit a certain age, it probably feels like your metabolism has stopped working. And the best part, it's totally free. So to download it, you just need to go to thinlicious.com/guide and grab it. And once again, that URL is thinlicious.com/guide. Okay, guys, so with that out of the way, let's talk about stress, which, I'll be honest, there's a part of me that hates talking about stress because I almost feel like using the word stress can instantly make us feel more stressed out. Do you know what I mean? It always feels like one of those things that the more you focus on it, the worse it gets. It's like this doom cycle. You feel stressed. So you start focusing on how stressed you are and you start saying things like, oh my gosh, I'm so stressed. I'm so overwhelmed. And then it almost becomes like a self-fulfilling prophecy. And yet I do think that sometimes we have to talk about it, hopefully in a productive way, because it really is a big deal that affects so many of us on a daily basis. And it's impacting our health in a really big way too. Because if you're starting to take steps towards improving your health, you're obviously listening to this podcast right now. So that's a huge start right there. But also maybe you're trying to change the way that you eat, you're cutting out sugar and carbohydrates, and you're adding in more healthy fat, and you're working on healing your gut and all the things, but then you're not dealing with any of the underlying chronic stress that's impacting your health also, it's going to be that much harder to make real progress. You're not going to see the results, or at least not as quickly, because honestly, it's all connected. So first things first, what exactly is chronic stress and how does it affect the body? Because I think it's important to start with just a clear definition of what we're talking about here so we're all on the same page. Because the reality is that not all stress is created equal. So what is stress in terms of this podcast? Well, basically, stress as a general term is our body's response to any kind of demand or threat. So that can be something that's external, like a job interview or an argument with a friend or the traffic jam that we got stuck in on the way home from work, or it can be something internal, like worrying about money or just feeling overwhelmed by all of your responsibilities. But whatever the source, stress is basically the body's response to those demands or threats. When you get stressed, your body releases a flood of hormones. So things like cortisol and adrenaline, and those are things that increase our heart rate and increase our blood pressure, suppress our immune system, and cause us to go into a fight or flight mode. And this is like a biological thing, right? This was an incredibly useful response back in the day when we were cavemen and we literally had to fight or flee from physical threats. But these days, most of the stressors that we're facing are not physical threats. They're emotional, financial, social, job-related, you name it. And yet our bodies still respond in much the same way as if we were being threatened by a wild animal. And that's why it's really important to recognize the signs of stress, because it can feel so normal, like just a part of everyday life, right? We're feeling this stuff all the time. But in reality, our bodies are actually responding very acutely to all these demands and threats that are constantly coming at us. And when that's happening all the time, day in and day out, that's when it becomes chronic stress. That's when the body's constantly in this heightened state of fight or flight, pumping out all those hormones nonstop. And that really starts to take its toll on our physical health, because it's not meant to be something that we're dealing with all the time. So what exactly is that toll that chronic stress is taking on our health? Well, it's significant, guys. Studies have linked stress to a wide range of health problems and diseases, everything from anxiety and depression to high blood pressure and cholesterol to migraines, digestive issues, even heart disease. In fact, it's estimated currently that 75 to 90% of all doctor's visits are for some sort of stress-related ailment and condition. What the heck? 75 to 90%. The stress is literally killing us. And here's why. Because basically, chronic stress throws our body out of balance in all sorts of different ways. Like I said, it's weakening our immune system. It's making us more prone to inflammation. It's messing with our hormones, and it's contributing to daily fatigue. And when we don't feel good physically, then it's like this doom loop, right? It only contributes to our stress level because that makes everything feel harder. It's no wonder so many of us are feeling overwhelmed and exhausted all of the time, because we're always stressed out. And yet it's hard to recognize all of this, because sometimes we don't even realize just how stressed we are. It just feels like a normal part of life, right? Isn't everybody stressed? Yeah, we all are. But that's what's happening in our bodies. And then, because you know already that I'm obsessed with gut health, I do think it's important to understand the connection between chronic stress and our gut, because believe it or not, the two are intimately connected. And if all of those conditions that I was just talking about sound a lot like the same things that happen when your gut is unhealthy, there's a reason for that, right? A few weeks ago, I did an episode of this podcast talking about depression and anxiety and how it's connected to our gut health. And you might remember that in that episode, I talked about something called the gut-brain axis. And basically, this is a phenomenon where the gut and the brain are communicating back and forth all the time. And so, as I'm sure you can imagine, chronic stress plays a big part in all of this too. That means that when our brain is stressed out, it's sending signals directly to our gut, which in turn manifests into a whole host of sometimes seemingly unrelated symptoms, but they're not unrelated. They are totally related because when we experience chronic stress, it's causing inflammation in our intestines, which is then triggering that overgrowth of bad bacteria in our gut. And then that leads to digestive issues, which we probably all experienced at some point, not to mention mood swings and fatigue and immune issues and autoimmune issues and food sensitivities and all of those things. So it's really important to address stress levels when we're talking about gut health because they're so closely connected. And then, of course, there's all the hormones because chronic stress is throwing off our hormone levels way off of balance in a very big way. And remember, I said just a minute ago that when we experience stress, it's flooding our body with hormones like cortisol and adrenaline. Well, those two hormones actually play a huge role in regulating all the other hormones in our bodies, things like insulin and your thyroid and your sex hormones. And so when things get out of balance with any one of these hormones, it wreaks absolute havoc on our overall health and also on our ability to actually lose weight because, as we've talked about before on this podcast many times, managing your insulin levels and reversing insulin resistance is a huge part of being able to successfully lose weight. If your insulin levels are high, it's actually sending a signal to your body to hold on to fat. You literally can't lose weight until you get your insulin levels under control. And if your cortisol is high because of chronic stress, that is having a big impact on your insulin levels because, like I say all the time, it's all connected. Our bodies are this one giant interconnected system. So when something gets out of whack in one area, it's always affecting something else. You've got to look at the whole picture. Suffice to say, there are a ton of different ways that chronic stress is connected to our overall health, from affecting our hormones and our gut health to increasing inflammation in the body and even contributing to all those serious diseases. And so it's really worth taking a look at the role stress is playing in your life and starting to take those steps to manage it better. So then, of course, the question becomes, what can we actually do about all of this stress? What are some practical steps that we can take to help mitigate the damage that stress is causing without actually stressing ourselves out more about managing our stress? Because the reality, I don't know about you, but for those of us who tend to be a little type A, like I'm raising my hand right now, sometimes the so-called cure just makes things worse because it feels like it's like one more thing to do on an already way too long to-do list. I got to manage my stress. Now I got to do all the things to make myself less stressed and I'm stressed about my stress. You know what I mean? But that's why I think the very first thing that you have to do and that you've got to focus on when it comes to stress is mindset. It always comes down to mindset, right? It always, always, always does. But you've got to focus on mindset and managing your thoughts. It's thinking about your thinking. It's what we choose to think about and how we interpret those thoughts that makes all the difference in how we feel and how our body will respond to stress. So back in my 20s, when I went through my own long battle with depression, I shared about that a few weeks ago, I actually spent a lot of time doing something called dialectical behavioral therapy, which is more commonly known as DBT. It's a specific type of therapy and it's very practical. You know, there's lots of different kinds of therapy. And I'm pretty sure I did all the different kinds of therapy, anger therapy and talking therapy and all sorts of therapy, right? But this specific type of therapy focuses on mindfulness and learning to manage your thoughts in order to better handle stress. So what it does is it teaches you how to sort of become this impartial observer of your thoughts. You observe your thoughts without attaching judgment to them, basically learning how to let thoughts come and go, but not necessarily needing to be controlled by them. And that's a big deal, especially when you're, you know, in the throes of depression and PTSD and you have all these thoughts and you can't control them. So he really focused on that. And this, you know, this is something, this was 20 years ago that I went through all of this DBT therapy. But it has served me well in my life. And it's even a practice that I've now worked on occasionally with my teenage daughter, who sometimes struggles with anxiety and emotion regulation, right? It's just learning how to let those thoughts come and go and pass without judgment. And I will tell you something, it really works. Because if you can allow yourself to just simply be aware of your thoughts and yet choose to not go down the rabbit hole of fear and worry, you don't have to get stuck in that spiral of negative thinking. And honestly, there's so much more I could say about just this one thing. But I will say that if it's something that you are interested in trying, then I highly recommend looking for a therapist who is specifically trained in DBT and more practical emotion regulation, right? Like there's lots of, like I said, there's lots of different kinds of therapy and therapists, and they specialize in different things, but look for somebody who is trained in DBT and can help walk you through this process, because it's super valuable. Or even, I mean, if you don't want to go to therapy, find a book or a workbook. They literally have DBT workbooks on Amazon, and it can help you sort of learn this practice in your own life. So to me, that's really the first and most important step in reducing stress, is just learning how to better manage your thoughts and your mindset. The second step is a lot more concrete. And that is to try to develop an actual process for how you deal with overwhelm, especially when your stress is specifically related to having a lot of stuff on your plate. For me, this is a process that I call power planning, and I have gotten into the very regular habit of doing it every single week. In fact, it's something that I teach in both our Tame Your Time program over at Living Well, Spending Less, and in our Activate Business coaching program over at Elite Blog Academy. It's something I've been teaching for many, many years. It's something that I've been practicing for many, many years. And honestly, I think it's a process that is super helpful for everyone, regardless of what's on your plate. But basically how it works, it's a four-step process that starts with doing what I call like just a brain dump, getting everything that's floating around in your head, all those thoughts and tasks and to-do items, out of your head and onto a piece of paper where you can actually make sense of them. Because a lot of times we're just letting this mental list of all the things pile up in our brains. And the problem with that is that it not only takes up a lot of space and energy, right? Mental space and energy, which causes stress, but then it also makes it impossible for our brains to actually sort things out and to prioritize. Because in our heads, when all that stuff is floating around in your brain, my husband calls it tornadoes. And in our heads, all those tornadoes feel big and equally important, but that's not always the case. They're not all equally important. And so you got to get it all out of your head onto a piece of paper. And then the second step is to prioritize. Once it's all out in front of you, you have to decide, or you're able to decide what needs to happen in what order, and what are the things that you can put off, and what are the things that you can delegate, and what are the less important things. You can't do that when it's all in your brain, but once you see it out in front of you, all of a sudden you're like, oh yeah, this doesn't need to happen right now. I don't need to be thinking about this right now. And there's lots of different ways to do this too. You can highlight things in different colors. You can number things in order of priority. Or what I do is typically identify what I call A tasks, B tasks, and C tasks. So A tasks are the things that are really important that are going to get me closer to the bigger goals that I have in my life. B tasks are the things that are urgent, that really need to be done sometime in the next week. And then C tasks are the things that I would like to do, but they're not important or urgent. And so that's what I do. I split them up into A tasks, B tasks, and C tasks. And from there, once you've kind of made your rough prioritization list, then what I like to do is actually just turn it into a plan. So many years ago, I created a tool that I call the Weekly Wizard. We sell it in our Living Well shop. It's, you know, it's something that we teach in our time management course, Tame Your Time. But it's something that we even use over at Elite Blog Academy too for our business owners. But it's just a one-page sheet that basically separates out your weekly to-do list into high priority, medium priority, and low priority tasks, right? A tasks, B tasks, and C tasks. And it's amazing how helpful that can be, right? To just have a very neat sheet that shows you exactly what your plan is for the week. So I like to fill that out every single week. And then my final step is to actually block out my time on my calendar to get stuff done. Time blocking. It's huge for me. And I usually do this on Friday afternoon for the following week, right? So I like to go into the weekend knowing that I have a plan for the next week, because what that does for me is that it allows my brain to relax. I can actually go, okay, I have a lot of stuff to do next week, but I don't have to be thinking about it this weekend because I know that I have actually set aside time to get everything done that I need to get done. And like I said, this is a process for me that has just become a habit because I do it every single week and I have done it every single week for years and years and years. One time might not change your life, but I promise you that over time, doing it consistently will dramatically lower your stress level because not everything will feel so pressing all at the same time. You'll actually feel like you're starting to make some progress towards some of the bigger things and not just going in circles, right? Not just on the hamster wheel where you're never making any progress and you've just got all of these things that always feel urgent all of the time. So that's my second piece of advice. Create a process for managing your overwhelm and then stick to that process consistently. My third recommendation goes right back to mindset, but kind of in a slightly different way. And that's to practice something that I call radical acceptance. I guess it's a little bit like the serenity prayer that they use in 12-step programs like AA, right? We've all heard that before. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And what radical acceptance basically means is that you stop trying to fight against what is, while at the same time taking full responsibility for your own response and for the things that you can actually do to make a difference. You accept the fact that you can't always change circumstances. You can't control the things that happen to you. You can't control how people treat you, but you can control how you decide to respond. And once you accept that as the truth in your life, it's amazing how much that will free up for you, right? Because you're wasting so much time and energy focused on what other people are doing, but instead you can choose to focus on the things that you actually have control over. It's simple in theory, I know. It's like easy to say, but it takes practice and it takes a lot of reminding and a lot of self-talk to just remind yourself of that. So that's kind of tip number three, practice radical acceptance. Tip number four then is to consciously take the time to just be still and breathe. And this probably sounds a little cliche, but so often, especially when we're stressed, we don't do this, right? We just keep on going. We're just go, 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 go. And it's almost like we're running away from our feelings or whatever uncomfortable emotions are coming up. And if that's the case for you, if you're just going, going, going and feel like you don't even have the time to sit down and breathe, I want to just really encourage you, even as you're listening to this, to just take a few moments every single day, maybe multiple times throughout the day, to literally stop what you're doing, sit down and just be still and just breathe, right? In through the nose, out through the mouth, take some deep breaths. For me, sometimes this is just taking the time to read my Bible for a few minutes or to, you know, sit down and pray. Other times it's listening to music or sitting in front of my red light and doing some red light therapy, which, you know, you just sit there and let the light pour on you. Sometimes it's literally just focusing on my breath and doing nothing else. Sometimes it's laying out in the sun. Sometimes it's just taking a 5-minute mental break to play a game on my phone. For other people, it could be light yoga, it could be meditation. Honestly, I don't think it really matters as long as it feels relaxing to you. Because what happens when we focus on breathing, even if it's just for a few minutes, our nervous system immediately starts to calm down, right? We get all this extra oxygen that's coming into our system and it's helping to lower our cortisol levels and relax our body. So that's a really big deal. So again, might be cliche, but we just need the reminder to just breathe sometimes, just breathe. But along those lines of dealing with the physical side of stress, the next thing is to be conscious of what you're putting into your body in terms of food. Basically, you need to eat to nourish your body, not to punish your body. And this isn't really about weight loss, because I think that sometimes just the pressure that we put on ourselves to lose weight and get healthy can in and of itself become this huge source of stress, right? Like we're like, am I doing all the things right? Am I doing it right? But try to like let go of that pressure. And I think that that's something that we really talk about a lot in our program, because we talk about that all the time. It's not a diet, it's a lifestyle. And that hopefully takes away some of the pressure to feel like you need to be perfect, or that you have to check all the boxes every single day. You don't. It's something that happens over the course of time. And it's really more about eating the foods that are going to nourish your body and to help it heal from the inside out. The foods that are going to help keep your blood sugar and your insulin levels low, the nutrient-dense proteins that are going to give you more energy, the fermented foods that are going to help to heal your gut and to nurture your microbiome, and the healthy fats that help to regulate your hormones. And I know we talk about food all the time on this podcast, so I'm not going to harp on it today, but the reality is that this way of eating that we teach and advocate for in our program isn't just about fitting into your skinny jeans. It's about healing your whole body from the inside out, because it's all so connected. And so just like when one thing is off, it throws off the whole. When you actually start to improve one part, you're actually improving the whole. But it has to be something that you do because it makes you feel good. And if you're just trying to restrict calories or to deprive yourself or focusing on all the things that you can't have, it won't feel good. It'll feel like punishment. And that is counterproductive. So eat to nourish, not to punish. That's the fifth thing. And then finally, along those same lines, I want to encourage you to do the activities and the exercise that feels good to your body. Maybe for you, it's yoga. Maybe it's taking a walk or going for a run. Maybe it's riding your bike or swimming or going for a hike. Or maybe it's none of those things because you hate them all. But don't do things that you hate. Forcing yourself to do exercise that you hate is so counterproductive for a lot of reasons, but mostly because it only adds to your stress rather than helps alleviate it, right? You're just adding more pressure to yourself to do something you don't want to do. So if you hate running, don't do it. If you hate burpees, don't do them. Find something that feels good for your body and do that instead. Even if it's not the most calorie burning activity out there, who cares? Doesn't matter. It's better to have some activity and have it be something that you actually enjoy than none at all. Because studies do show that physical activity not only helps to reduce stress, but that it also helps to improve your mood and your mental health. But it's only going to do that if it's something that you enjoy. So be kind to yourself. Do the things that feel good for your body. So there you have it, guys. My big six big tips for managing your stress. Check your mindset, develop a process for managing your overwhelm, practice radical acceptance, breathe, eat to nourish, not to punish, and just do the things that feel good, okay? Feel good for your body. And I mean, just do the exercise things that feel good to your body. Hopefully there were at least a few helpful takeaways for you in that list. But also I want to say this, remember that you don't have to do it all at once. Just focus on one thing at a time and start small. And guys, that about does it for today's episode. In our next episode, we will be sitting down with another one of our amazing Thinlicious customers, Julie Flynn, who has made an incredible transformation this past year, not just in losing 30 pounds, but really in terms of energy and confidence and breaking her sugar addiction. And I can't wait for you to listen to that. But in the meantime, if you found this content helpful, I would absolutely love it if you would pass it along. Send the link via text or email or share it on social media. Guys, I am so, so convinced that healing our bodies from the inside out is literally the way to change the world. And I hope you will join me in embracing that mission. And of course, if you are loving this podcast and the content that I'm sharing, please feel free to subscribe or leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you like to listen. Then take a screenshot and send it to us at hello@thinlicious.com, and we will enter you into our weekly drawing. Finally, don't forget to grab our free starter guide if you're new, and you can get that at thinlicious.com/guide. And I will see you very soon.